position has changed, particularly since the election of Evo Morales in Bolivia. Could you talk a little about that?
Yes, it's a good news, no? The fact that for the first time we have a constitution. The first one was in Ecuador, Bolivia also, recognizing the rights of nature. It was the first time in all this, the history of humanity. No other constitution before had recognized nature as a source of justice. And there were so many people astonished by it, saying, but how nature can be, have rights if nature is not a person? Well, the answer is here in the United States. In the middle of 19th century, the Supreme Court of the United States recognized human rights for corporations. And it's still alive, this decision of the Supreme Court. I mean, still here in the United States, corporations has human rights. And then why not? Why not nature also, if corporations can defend themselves, saying we have human rights? Well, let's admit that nature also should be protected.
Eduardo Galeano, the title of your book comes from Guatemala, Children of the Days. Now in Guatemala, there is an unprecedented trial going on. Whether it will conclude, we're not sure right now. Mm-hmm. But that is of Efraín Ríos Montt for genocide, for crimes against humanity, the dictator who was responsible for the deaths of so many.
He killed thousands and thousands of people, and he destroyed several communities and villages, killing the babies. The order was, it's a war against the seeds, contra las semillas, the seeds of evil. Satan was present in each Indian baby being born, so they killed a lot of babies and children. And it was good news to know that he was on a trial. But
and it may implicate the current president, Pérez Molina, who was
but especially the,
worked with
the,
Ríos
the
Montt.
The main murderer was the other one,
Ríos Montt. And
which he has his brother is a bishop and he's a good person, but he was terrible. He was really the main responsible for this massacre. Massive extermination of Indian population, and
was also quite
at the beginning it was good news, first time in Guatemala, one of the first time in all Latin America that something like this was happening. But nowadays it seems that impunity will win again. He has a broad army of lawyers, and the last news I received from Guatemala were not good, and perhaps impunity will win again. I hope not, but
President Hugo Chavez gave Open Veins of Latin America to President Obama.
Yes.
President Chavez has died. Your thoughts on his significance?
He it was a symbolic act, indeed, no? Because he gave Obama the Spanish edition, and Obama doesn't read the Spanish. And there are a lot of English editions, something like 30 or 40. So it was clearly symbolic. It was just a way of saying, look, president of the planet, just a second, have a look on it. There are other worlds in this world.
What do you think the legacy of President Hugo Chavez is in Latin America?
Well, I was the delegate of the independent observers when the referendum took place. The president asking for first time in history, asking people, do you want that they stay here or you prefer that I go away? asking people. And
very quickly, we have 10 seconds.
I was elected by more than 200 observers to represent all of them in that referendum. And it was a trilogy.
We're going to have to save the punchline.
Carter, the former president of the United States, was there for the foundation.
We're going to save the punchline for and post it on our website at democracynow.org. Our guest, Eduardo Galeano, his latest book, Children of the Days. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Shaikh, our website, democracynow.org. Stay tuned for part two.
And this is WBAI New York. Where'd that punchline go? My name is Robert Knight. Welcome and thank you for tuning and streaming in. And this is a program called Earthwatch, and it's dedicated to observing the ways in which people around the world can communicate and how they are alienated and how they can build together even in times of great distress, which I guess brings us to acknowledgement of this being our first day of fundraising for the highly essential May Marathon here at WBAI. For those of you new to the station, WBAI became a Pacifica radio station in 1960. It is one of five stations owned and operated by the Pacifica Foundation and dedicated to the mission of peace and dedicated to examining the sociological, cultural, artistic, musical, and so many different ways of the human experience in which people can reduce the distances among each other. And we're based on a very precious concept, that is of being a non-commercial foundation, which means that we don't run commercials. We don't have corporations paying for what they think we should say. And that makes all the difference in the world because that allows a community of genius to be assembled on the basis of principle, hope, and community. And this is something we do each year, but this time it has a very special significance because WBAI is presently in what you might call an existential chrysalis. We are about to bloom, to blossom, to fly as a beautiful, multi-hued creature. But at the moment, we are temporarily located at the fine studios of WHCR, Harlem Community Radio, at the City College of New York. And we've had a rough winter. What with the Hurricane Sandy deluge that did not keep our studios safe, the necessity to move, the expenses of that, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea what technical requirements are involved in moving a radio station. And that's the caterpillar part of our circumstance at this particular moment. But the butterfly part, like the monarch butterflies you almost never anymore see in New York City because of the pollution of the earth, the atmosphere, the water, the seaborne crustaceans, the diminution of frogs and creatures like that because of the runoff of poisons from fertilizers and industrial waste and so on and so forth. We are within a few months of being relocated in a building that will be our own, that will release us from the burdensome debt of the rent that was and still is being caught up with at our former studios at 120 Wall Street. That was not a Michael Douglas ambition that brought us there. When WBAI first moved there, it was a nonprofit building. It was a tax write-off for the owner, Silverstein, and Silverstein Properties. And it was filled to the brim with 501c3s and public interest organizations, you know, like the Urban League and the blood banks and nursing and health and therapy and job remediation centers. And, well, it's true that everything changed after 2001. And among the things that changed was the astronomical escalation of our rent to Wall Street rates at the time. And there was that. There was the incapacity of the transmitter for a time. There was the interruption of broadcast, the inaccessibility of the building, the non-forgiveness of the rent during our time of being unable to fulfill our function, not only of broadcast, but as the Pacifica Charter says, to maintain an independent source of funding, which is where you come in. We believe that we have the most intelligent and ethical audience on Earth. And I'm going to ask you to help prove that tonight in a way slightly different from some of the recent fund drives. Tonight, I offer no premiums. I call upon the Solons, the Centurions, the citizens of this community to support the very principle of the existence of WBAI. And as you do that, you will bring us closer to what I have reason to believe is only a couple of months, 2 to 3 months off, in which our circumstance will be far better than it is now. And you are the fulcrum of that transition with your willingness to at this very moment, to give us a call at our Pledge Center and become a philosophically grounded supporter of WBAI. It's not about the whim of the moment. It's not about a trinket or a thank you gift, as far as I'm concerned tonight. We might be doing that at other times. But sometimes you've got to get back to the garden, the very simple concept of supporting the station. And we have a way that you can do that and support this program called Earthwatch. You can do that online with a call to give to WBAI.org, give numeral to WBAI.org. But I hope that the number of pledges is proportionate to what I see as a nice indication that you are out there listening or streaming. So the number is 516-620-3602. And tell them you want to become an Earthwatch buddy. Tell them that you want to make a pledge. And hopefully, just a couple of dozen of you to do so during this time period, which will be followed by Jim Freund with Hour of the World, would show that we have not lost our minds, that we do believe in the mission, and know that the mission depends on you. And I've been troubled all day long by, I do another show called 5 O'Clock Shadow, and I'm therefore required to keep track of major political, global, war and peace events and such like that. And if you can understand or get an inkling of my philosophical frustration, my existential pain earlier today, then I have great faith that you'll call us up at 516-620-3602. And I, with the anticipation and hoopla, watched the full 5 hours of the House Oversight Committee congressional hearings into the events at Benghazi late last year with the death of the ambassador, J. Christopher Stevens, and three other Americans, and the misrepresentations. Yes, the Obama administration certainly did launder their talking points. There's no getting around that. But what was dirty about the hearings is that, there was one interesting part when there was very emotional citation of the details of what happened that night. That night that there was a well-coordinated attack by what, by any reasonable estimate, would be referred to as violent Islamic militants. But here's the thing. The violent Islamic militants in the well-coordinated attack on the CIA base, as well as what was called the consulate, but it was not fully of that graded status, the same place where the ambassador had been touching toes with the Mujahideen, people who remember the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, knows that the United States created hugely funded a bunch of people using their Islamic fealty as cannon fodder to go and destabilize the Soviet occupation. And now it is the United States that's occupying Afghanistan. But the policy has not changed. They're still paying off Mujahideens. And literally, in the case of Libya, this meant a resurgence of so-called al-Qaeda. And as you've heard us report many times, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group that was well contained under the stable administration of Muammar Gaddafi and the Libyan Arab Jamahiriya. And so these hearings today succumbed to the representation of them. Well, it's a partisan squabble. Yeah. Well, it's a partisan squabble because they're thinking about the midterm elections and the terrible prospect of the potential campaign and running for president of the bizarrely cackling former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, who you will recall, when informed that she, her government, intelligence agencies, and all instrumentalities are responsible for the American-backed assassination of a foreign head of state. And her response to this was, "He's dead? Well, ha, 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 ha. We came, we saw, he died." Now, I'm telling you about my philosophical angst today. And part of that is that such a person would even be considered capable of responsibly holding the highest office in this land. But, you know, they kept talking about it as if it were a bipartisan squabbling. The insanity of the hypnotic trick of so-called bipartisanism and the illusion that there is a difference in policy between Democrats and Republicans on any issue that matters with the president that has unilaterally proposed the cutting of Social Security benefits through the chain price index. Republicans didn't do that. Democrat President Obama did that. And all during this hearing, I'm watching, oh yes, the socially regressive reactionary Representative Issa. We should have bombed them all. We should have brought in the B-52s or the F-16s or whatever we've got, and we should have strafed and bombed those people around the embassy and our secret CIA base to which they retreated. And then you get this guy who's coasting on the reputation of having been a civil rights leader, Elijah Cummings. And he comes on and he says, "Well, I just want to put in the record that, as a Democrat, I would have done the same damn thing, but a general told me they couldn't do it soon enough." This, the water bearer for a president who is droning to death thousands of people around the world. So I was so frustrated. I could not distinguish between any global morality of a Democrat versus a Republican. And above it all, I perceived not among a one of them any consciousness of peace or obedience to international law, or sensation of moral responsibility for the deaths they unleashed needlessly in order to get the contracts for the Libyan oil. And I remembered the horrible, horrible, torturous way in which CIA operatives murdered Muammar Gaddafi. And stabbed him in the rectum. And shot him in the head. And then shot him again. And then left his rotting body on display, like that scene in the movie Unforgiven by Clint Eastwood. And then had a parade of people come by and throw shoes and spit upon his corpse. And then at the same time unleash the highly racist lynch mob of the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, Muslim Brotherhood. It's got many different forms and names, Al-Qaeda. The Cyrenaicans, the eastern part of Libya, that the Jamahiriya was able to maintain integral to the nation despite their ambitionist, bigoted, fanatic attempts to divide the nation of Libya. But it did get rended asunder, ripped apart by the Obama administration, by the Democrats, and the Republicans who joined in the bloodlust. And as a result, the oil wealth that Gaddafi shared with the rest of Africa became unavailable. The concept of an African euro, an African dinar, that would be an internationally collective money system that would diminish the Pentagon's control of oil territories because of the use of the dollar as the trading mechanism. So during this bipartisan lynch mob with this civil rights congressman and the reactionary chair of the committee both agreeing, yeah, we should have bombed. I felt such a frustration, a lack of a consciousness of peace and justice. Nobody spoke up about peace, international law, and the proscription against assassination of foreign heads of state. And these same people enabled by Obama and the Republicans in tandem has now unleashed the murderous attrition of brutality that is taking place in Syria. A recent communique that was leaked from the Qatar embassy in so-called Libya, it's not a nation. They're lynching Africans. They're driving them out of Afro-Libyans out of the places where they've lived, which is what really irritated me about that so-called civil rights leader. And we have an endless loop now of the Obama and Bush administrations empowering Al-Qaeda, paying them, and having them as the carrot at the end of the stick of military invasion. And I said, my God, is there no conscience in this room? I said, my God, is there no consciousness of peace? And then I remembered with mixed emotions the awesome responsibility of being a part of this radio station WBAI, which was founded on the concept of peace and an awareness of justice. And I propose to you that as the issues and the locales of the subversion and clandestine operations and waterboarding and torture and all of this continues, that you need WBAI to be a clearly identified channel for a consciousness of peace. And if you get not only where I'm coming from, but if you look forward to that great and glorious day of where we're going, won't you please give us a call and make a donation? I want you to donate on the order of $50 or more, if you can. Just two dozen of you would send a really good signal at this time of day. 516-620-3602. Become an Earthwatch buddy. And our volunteers will take you through the couple of minutes or so it takes to do that. But I really am trusting you to call us up in dreamland, because we do have a dream. We have a dream of peace, and we have visualized our new space. And it's time for the May Marathon. We need your money to help do that. Won't you take responsibility? You know, I was so frustrated with the fakery. And then the gloating of MSNBC or BSNBC with all these so-called liberal non-leftists talking about, well, obviously there's nothing to this issue. It's all about Republicans trying to do this and that. And then there's Fox saying, well, the Democrats dropped the ball and Obama's going to... It's all a distraction. It's a smoke grenade. This is WBAI. Please support Clarity, 516-620-3602. And preserve a space where the lesser heard people of sanity can be heard on issues like this. And as we listen to a few minutes of a more cogent presentation on the issue that took place last October, please, please now call 516-620-3602. Here now, Representative Dennis Kucinich with more on the issues of which we have been speaking tonight.
We recognize the gentleman from Ohio also, Mr. Kucinich.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kennedy has testified today that U.S. interests and values are at stake in Libya and that the U.S. is better off because we went to Benghazi. Really? You think that after 10 years in Iraq and 11 years in Afghanistan, that our country, that the U.S. would have learned the consequences and the limits of interventionism? You would think that after trillions have been wasted on failed attempts at democracy building abroad while our infrastructure crumbles at home, Congress and the administration would reexamine priorities. Today we're engaging in a discussion about the security failures of Benghazi. There was a security failure. Four Americans, including our ambassador, Ambassador Christopher Stevens, were killed. Their deaths are a national tragedy. My sympathy is with the families of those who were killed. There has to be accountability. I haven't heard that yet. We have an obligation to protect those who protect us. That's why this Congress needs to ask questions. The security situation did not happen overnight because of a decision made by someone at the State Department. We could talk about hundreds of millions of dollars in cuts for funding for embassy security over the last 2 years as a result of a blind pursuit of fiscal austerity. We could talk about whether it's prudent to rely so heavily on security contractors rather than our own military or State Department personnel. We could do a he said, she said about whether the State Department should have beefed up security at the embassy in Benghazi. But we owe it to the diplomatic corps who serves our nation to start at the beginning, and that's what I shall do. The security threats in Libya, including the unchecked extremist groups who are armed to the teeth, exist because our nation spurred on a civil war, destroying the security and stability of Libya. And, you know, no one defends Gaddafi. Libya was not in a meltdown before the war. In 2003, Gaddafi reconciled with a community of nations by giving up his nation's pursuit of nuclear weapons. At the time, President Bush said Gaddafi's actions made our country and our world safer. Now, during the Arab Spring, uprisings across the Middle East occurred, and Gaddafi made ludicrous threats against Benghazi. Based on those verbal threats, we intervened, absent constitutional authority, I might add. We bombed Libya. We destroyed their army. We obliterated their police stations, lacking any civil authority, armed brigades, control security. Al-Qaeda expanded its presence. Weapons are everywhere. Thousands of shoulder-to-air missiles are on the loose. Our military intervention led to greater instability in Libya. many of us, Democrats and Republicans alike, made that argument to try to stop the war. It's not surprising, given the inflated threat and the grandiose expectations inherent in our nation building in Libya, that the State Department was not able to adequately protect our diplomats from this predictable threat. It's not surprising, and it's also not acceptable. It's easy to blame someone else, like a civil servant at the State Department. We all know the game. It's harder to acknowledge that decades of American foreign policy have directly contributed to regional instability and the rise of armed militias around the world. It's even harder to acknowledge Congress's role in the failure to stop the war in Libya, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Pakistan, the war in Yemen, the war in Somalia, and who knows where else. It's harder to recognize Congress's role in a failure to stop the drone attacks that are still killing innocent civilians and strengthening radical elements abroad. We want to stop the attacks on our embassies? Let's stop trying to overthrow governments. This should not be a partisan issue. Let's avoid the hype. Let's look at the real situation here. Interventions do not make us safer. They do not protect our nation. They are themselves a threat to America. Now, Mr. Kennedy, I would like to ask you, is al-Qaeda more or less established in Libya since our involvement?
Mr. Kucinich, I will have to take that question for the record. I am not an intelligence expert.
Oh, you don't have the intelligence, you're saying. Well, I'm going to go on to the next question. The next question.
Mr.
Are Americans
Mr.
safer,
Kucinich,
Mr. Kennedy? Excuse me.
I think the other two may have an opinion also, if you wanted to ask them.
Well,
about
I wanted to ask Ambassador Kennedy. Next question, Ambassador Kennedy. How many shoulder-to-air missiles are capable of shooting that are capable of shooting down civilian passenger airlines are still missing in Libya? And this happened since our intervention. Can you answer that question?
No, sir. I'll be glad to provide it for the record.
You're saying that you don't know?
I do not know, sir. It's not within my normal purview of operations at the State Department.
Does anyone else here know how many shoulder-to-air missiles that can shoot down civilian airliners are still loose in Libya? Does anyone know?
The figures that we were provided were fluid, but the rough approximation was between 10 and 20,000.
Okay, the gentleman's time has expired. Did you want them to answer anything about al-Qaeda growth?
If anyone there knows
if anyone
the
has
answer,
an answer on that one.
Hello, anyone? Anyone there? Bueller? Anybody know?
Yes, sir. Their presence grows every day. They are certainly more established than we are.
Thank you.
And that is just a sample of Denis Kucinich bringing the kind of clarity that is made possible by a radio station dedicated to peace, WBAI, as part of the Pacifica Radio Network, is such a thing. And I'm Robert Knight. This is Earthwatch, asking you to help amortize the years of service that this radio station has brought to so many communities of need with a donation to our transmitter fund at 516-620-3602. And I've just vented about my intellectual frustration with the trickery that the corporate networks give us about the everything in the world is simply bipartisan squabble. No. That is the fog of war. That is the distraction that allows both of them to take you to the same place. And Pacifica is written upon the mission of finding the divisions and trickeries that create the conditions for a state of war and educating thereby with a independent funding base to do so. You are that funding base, 516-620-3602. No premium. Now, there was a foolish experiment in democracy that happened throughout Pacifica that allowed the people least qualified to become potentates and board members. It's a long story. But one of the many errors of this so-called democratic impulse in Pacifica was to kind of like inflate the books of listener voters. And to do so, they reduced the annual subscription rate, the tithe that as a listener you are expected to maintain in order to have the ability to listen to the radio station. And they reduced it to the ridiculous level of $25. It was a poison pill of so-called democracy. Now, I believe in consensus. I believe in community participation. Don't get me wrong. But this structure that we have, first thing they did was cut our income in half with this, well, if we lower the price, we can bring, like, the peoples in and they can all vote, right? Well, no. That is a part of the long-term financial distress Pacifica has faced. And that is why I'm asking you to bring us back to the inflation-adjusted level that an annual subscription should be, $50, $100, who knows. But it certainly ain't $25. So I'm hoping that there are citizens of responsibility in this radio nation who will now go to your phone and dial 516-620-3602. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight here, and I'm just trying to tell you, I've had a bad day listening to the media BS that they can only perceive as a horse race between a Democrat and a Republican. Rather, or is it a horse race between the corporate-backed Republicans and Democrats? This is Pacifica. We are not corporate-backed. And therefore, we can have a more intelligent analysis than you get on BSNBC. And folks, faux news, F-A-U-X, Fox News. 516-620-3602. We are specifically, in a very subdued way, seeking people of greater consciousness and responsibility. And a matter of fact, few of you need to pledge $100. That comes down to a penny per hour for a year's worth of WBAI. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. To support, sustain, defend, expand, and help us get to our new building. We've already got a toe in the door, you know. Suffice to say, I have reason to believe we're going to have a very fine and beautiful summer, fall, winter, and 2014. But we've got to get there, and that's on you. 516-620-3602. Won't you please make that call now? 516-620-3602. And tell them you want to be a BAI buddy. That'll help show that, like Earthwatch, you have a consciousness of peace, a sense of justice that goes beyond the well-crafted propaganda that is very similar to a wrestling match. In this corner, the blue, in that corner, the red. You know, give me a break. That's not democracy. That's duopoly. 516-620-3602. And do that and celebrate the many things we've been doing, including our on-the-spot coverage from the very beginning throughout. It's post-supernova stage of the Occupy movement. Occupy is a seasonal thing. You know, people can't do it that easily in the winter. And that was a weakness that was exploited by the systems and powers and spies that be. But we are more sustainable because we are, as a radio station, a bulwark against racism, against the Negro faces that destabilize Africa. 516-620-3602. This is Earthwatch, and we're looking for you to take responsibility of the radio station that you know and love. And here's a little bit of our essence. Please keep calling 516-620-3602. Support WBAI. This is Earthwatch.
The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. The beating sound of the hammer for justice that pounds. When the world stop and listen, when will we all stop and see? He looks upon us with a frown to know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. Still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop and listen? When will we all stop and see? Cause he looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. As long as there's life, there's still a day. There's life, there's still a day, and I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
The law that created Zuccotti Park required that it be open for the public to enjoy for passive recreation 24 hours a day. Ever since the occupation began, that law has not been complied with, as the park has been taken over by protesters, making it unavailable to anyone else.
Money could talk, it would cry out against you, to witness the lies you had told, and the lies you had sold out like the lamb that you slew, overturning the tables on you. You have lived luxuriously.
For the entirety of the life of our nation, democracy has been protected, not merely by the strenuous efforts of those of us who cherish it, but mostly and most profoundly by the limitless stupidity of those who would ration it, keep it for themselves and themselves alone, or destroy it. The protests that ended the war in Vietnam reached critical mass only in 1970, when Governor James Rhodes of Ohio pounded on a desk at a news conference and called the student protesters at Kent State University un-American. They were not un-American. They were unarmed. And the next day, four of them were shot and killed by the National Guard. And 10 days later, two more were killed at Jackson State. Those protests had themselves only gone mainstream 20 months earlier, when Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago overreacted with mindlessness and sadism to the massing of demonstrators outside the 1968 Democratic Convention, and the whole world watched. A century of the institutionalized, codified, legalized pseudo-slavery that had followed the real thing was fatally stricken only when Governor George Wallace of Alabama used his inaugural address to promise segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Within 2 years came the marches on Selma and the atrocities at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And 10 weeks after the first violence, the president had proposed the Voting Rights Act to Congress. The mounting paranoia of 3 decades of the scapegoating of and fear-mongering about liberals only ended when its last white knight self-destructed on the national stage of televised hearings, when Joe McCarthy questioned the loyalty of the U.S. military, and towards one junior attorney he revealed the depths of his cruelty and megalomania, and he revealed that at long last he indeed had no shame. Pick any moment in our history. Our history is a country founded by and invigorated by and reinvigorated by protest. And you will find men like George Wallace and Joe McCarthy and Jim Rhodes and Richard Daley. Go back further to men like the owners of the Triangle Shirtwaist Company, or the officials who sent the police to the Haymarket Square and the troops to the Pullman Town, or John Brown, or George Grenville, the British politician who had a bright idea about the American colonies, an idea called the Stamp Act. American freedom has not flourished in spite of these morons of history. It has flourished because of them, because they overreacted, because they underthought, overreached, understood. We owe them our traditions of protest. We owe them our freedoms. We owe them our very independence. None of them ever understood that, around these parts anyway, suppression always creates the opposite of the effect desired. Such a man is Michael Rubens Bloomberg, mayor of New York City, and as of today, the most valuable, the most essential, the most irreplaceable man inside the Occupy movement. Who else but a cliche like Bloomberg could take a protest beginning to grow a little stale around its edges and vault it back into the headlines, complete with mortifying scenes of police dressed up as stormtroopers carrying military weapons using figurative bazookas to kill figurative mosquitoes? Who else but an archetype like Bloomberg could claim a group of protesters was making too much noise in a residential area and then choose to try to disperse them by bringing out LRAD audio cannons, machines that send painful waves of sound indiscriminately over the very same residential area? Who else but a cartoon like Bloomberg could have become rich creating a multi-billion dollar media and news company and then authorize illegally preventing reporters from witnessing police actions he claimed were utterly legal and then authorize the arrest of 4 reporters at a church? Who else but a human platitude like Bloomberg could have just gotten back from Jerusalem and the dedication of a $10 million medical facility for which he generously paid, and then enabled the image of policemen seizing 5,500 books from the Occupy Wall Street library and throwing them in a dumpster as if the cops were book burners? Who else but a hypocrite like Bloomberg could have overridden by backroom deal with the New York City Council the results of 2 separate referendums, limiting those in his office to just 2 terms as mayor so he could serve a 3rd term, and then have had his police arrest, beat up, and incarcerate a member of the New York City Council? Who else but a putz like Bloomberg could have insisted that protesters were not above the rule of law, and yet when the courts ruled he could not seize the protesters' tents and sleeping bags, nor kick them out of Zuccotti Park, nor keep them from returning with their tents and sleeping bags, who else could have stalled for hours until he could find another judge to give him the ruling he insisted upon? Who else but the epitome of tone deafness that is Bloomberg could have better illustrated the fundamental issue of Occupy when he puts the entire weight of the most people-driven city in the history of the earth behind already crushingly rich and their efforts to grab themselves still more advantages from those people? and he himself is the 12th richest man in America. Who else but a publicity addict like Bloomberg could have enabled the arrest of 700 protesters on the Brooklyn Bridge, and yet 2 months later, frozen 20 square miles of New York City in gridlock traffic over 2 days so somebody could film another goddamn Batman movie on the 59th Street Bridge, leading to the inescapable conclusion that if you want to tie up a little traffic during a protest for equality and freedom from corporate domination on a bridge in New York City, you will be arrested. But if you want to tie up all the traffic during a goddamned movie shoot for the financial benefit of corporate domination, the city of New York will embrace you and give you tax breaks. Michael Bloomberg, no such a figure. No such a living, breathing embodiment of all that is wrong and all that is stupid in the establishment in this country could be ordered up from the works of fiction or the casting calls of that goddamn Batman movie they filmed the weekend before he ordered the raid on Occupy Wall Street. Obviously, Mayor Bloomberg, you should resign, and your little bully of a police commissioner, Raymond Kelly, should go with you. You have overstepped all reasonable interpretations of your rights and responsibilities, and you have made Americans and people around the world realize that you are simply smaller, more embarrassing versions of the tin pot tyrants who have fallen around the globe in the past year. But as some of us first thought you might be back on that fateful September afternoon that sadistic cops pepper sprayed four women who had already been trapped inside a police overreaction, and as we thought again the following weekend during the arrests on Brooklyn Bridge, Michael Bloomberg, you have now indeed become the symbol of the Occupy movement. You are ready to take your historic place with Mayor Daley and Governor Wallace and Senator McCarthy and Prime Minister Grenville and every other idiot who has made the fateful and fatal mistake of thinking that just because he had power and money, that this was a nation in which everything has a price tag on it. We need you, Michael Bloomberg. We need you to keep making these mistakes. Tone-deaf, sensibility-offending, world-changing mistakes like the pepper spray and the Brooklyn Bridge and the paramilitary assault on Occupy Wall Street last night. Hell, Mike, the freedoms of this wonderful and transcendent nation, corrupted by the endless greed of you and the other dozen richest people in it, and the corporations who nevertheless have still managed to own you somehow, these freedoms will not be restored to us in just the next 2 years. I'm endorsing you for a fourth term. Your nation needs you, Mr. Mayor. Occupy needs you. Bloomberg now, Bloomberg tomorrow, Bloomberg forever.
From the beginning, I've said that the city has two principal goals: guaranteeing public health and safety and guaranteeing the protesters' First Amendment rights.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. Take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
This is Earthwatch. You're tuned to WBAI New York, and some of you are streaming at WBAI.org. My name is Robert Knight, and this is the first day of the May Marathon. And among the things you heard and some of the highlights of things we've presented on Earthwatch was Keith Olbermann, I believe at the time he was with BSNBC. But he, you know, his independent mind had trouble with them, and he moved over to Current TV. And guess what? Al Gore made a gazillion dollars selling first you've got the corporate, so-called progressive or leftist MSNBC, right? Who are simply giving a mirror reflection of the Republicans from the other side of the corporate-backed duopoly called democracy in America. And so he goes over to Current TV, and things don't work that good with him there. And so Al Gore, get this, remember Libya? Yeah, see, there's a thread, there's a theme, a whoop and a wharf to what we're doing tonight. With the sodomy and murder of a foreign national leader backed by the President of the United States and the intelligence agencies and NATO and all of the bombers and drones. Who was training the invaders of Libya? Who today is funding the invasion of Syria? The royal nation of Qatar and its state propaganda arm called Al Jazeera. So guess what? Al Gore sells Current TV to Al bleepin' Jazeera. Now, if that is not a cautionary tale as to why you need a Pacifica, I don't know what is. Somebody call, give us $250 just for existing. 516-620-3602. I'm trying to make a point here. No bells and whistles. Tonight's program is about the simple essence of the necessity of Pacifica and WBAI. We're heading to a brighter day, but we need you to get across that bridge. Please keep those calls coming at 516-620-3602.
And walk this land with me, and walk this golden land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong to make this land our home. If I must fight a fight to make this land our own, until
no right is absolute, and with every right comes responsibility. The First Amendment gives every New Yorker the right to speak out, but it does not give anyone the right to sleep in a park or otherwise take it over to the exclusion of others, nor does it permit anyone in our society to live outside the law.
We also recommend you immediately leave the park on a temporary basis.
Oh, yeah, ain't that nice? Fifth Dimension, that's who that is, in case you didn't know. And this is Earthwatch, and we are welcoming your generous contributions to BAI and its transmitter fund and its future fund. This is a very special time of night for Earthwatch and Hour of the Wolf, or sometimes I think of it as, Earthwolf. And Jim Freund is here with us in the studio. We've been planning a joint special, but I'm glad to see you
but
here
But I only
tonight.
Brought a pipe.
Never mind. We'll leave that where it belongs.
Okay, yes, exactly. Sorry. What a terrible noise. Yes.
There. Well, yeah, we don't have cough mics around here. Cough buttons, rather.
Yes, exactly.
Attenuates the mic temporarily when you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, Jim, it's good to see you.
Likewise. Indeed, yeah. Since we have made the move uptown, it has been difficult for you with your daily 5 o'clock shadow to also be here at this hour. And I'm coming
God
from
help me, I love it.
The southern end of Brooklyn, so for, it's like a 2.5 hour.
Jim, tonight I have been speaking about the existential distress of watching pretty much all of the other media. I spoke earlier about the displaced insanity of the debate about Libya and Benghazi in the context of a global system of invasion, weaponizing, unleashing, and coverting that leads to blowback with the Al-Qaeda now renewed and Libyan Islamic Fighting Group and the instability that goes around the world that seems to be a necessary taproot of the maintenance of corporate and military rule globally. And we spoke about Occupy and this, that, and the other thing. But here's something that I know that we, philosophically, as veterans of peace at Pacifica and WBAI, I think we agree on. And that is, our most valuable product to sell to the listener is the existence of the radio station. I mean, don't come here, and premiums have their place. But tonight, I decided that...
Well, the premium is the existence of the station. This is the idea that we... I have issues with premiums. On the one hand, I think they're a wonderful thank you. Mm-hmm. They're a wonderful thing and all that. And why? You came into the station once because I was offering a very cool premium.
Yes.
That Neil Adams poster. But and even then, we only had 5. Hmm. It's not like we were basing the entire thon on premiums, and you didn't know what show might or might not have one.
Yeah.
But the main premium has been the premium that you can tune up and down the radio dial. Hmm. And only it's when you get to the center of the dial, only when you get to 99.5 FM, do you find that the radio itself, the broadcasting, is premium radio. Because WBAI is in and of itself a premium. We are, when you compare the concept of who we are and what we do, that makes it premium.
And to have a mission of inclusion, of community service, of
pardon me,
presenting those things that are underreported or suppressed, the invisible. Radio is intrinsically and should be invisible, but there are vital living communities that have been made invisible by the maximization of profit through advertising and the corporate backing of not only the networks, but also their subsidiaries, the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the subsidiary of the other? I mean, that changes every 10 years or so, every decade. Mm-hmm. The networks are the subsidiary of
Well, elected officials are the guest workers.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very much so.
516-620-3602.
That's okay. That's this week's phone number?
Back again by popular demand.
Yeah. well, no comment. But I'm just thinking through all the years that I have been between. Robert and I were trying to figure out earlier, and we came up with a horrifying number between the two of us, but just the two of us, of how many person years we have put into WBAI in this room alone, and there's only the two of us here at the moment, 86 years.
Yeah.
And Sydney is in the next room over
there. I think I got about 36. I thought you were 46, maybe more.
I started in 67.
Oh, God, yes.
I started May 1st, 1967. Mm-hmm. I can date that because it was the first thon, and I was a phone volunteer. Well, now, I wasn't a regular worker. I went away and came back a year later.
Well, I do have schizophrenia, so for me it's only 18 years per psyche.
Oh, okay, there you go. There you go. But or do you double the number of years? You know, it's a question of whether it's dual or distinct, and then which hemisphere of the brain are you using at a given time. But if you do something on that basis, yeah. So, I mean, I'm still having problems dealing with the concept that this is the 21st century. Between the two of us, the 21st century, this is 2013. Therefore, that's 26 years between the two of us right there. And then you came in 77, which would be 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
So 26 plus 23 is 40.
And,
10
more.
And
13 more.
And then 13 more for, 23 more for me.
For you.
I started in 67.
Right.
So, yes, it comes to 86 years between the two of us. Hmm. And you want to talk about premium. There you go. That is a lifetime of radio.
But we are. Yeah, that's a typical American lifespan.
It is.
But we are two streaks on a highway of history, innovation, and creation. That is WBAI from whether it be the Winter Soldier hearings, whether it be the Chicago coverage, whether it be the Vietnam War, whether it be the arts and sciences, of which you are so astute, and the music programs, the invention, in my opinion, of morning investigative radio with the one-time morning lineup of Democracy Now! And Undercurrents and Contragate and such. It's very, very inspiring, but also very frightening to see the dearth of independent critical analysis of the most funded political and advertising tendencies in politics and commerce and global policy.
Yeah. To me, it's always been an issue of balance. And we are a certain way because of the imbalance. You know, I love hearing the Kochs of the world, you know, claiming that all media is liberal. And even if you listen to liberal media that is there, they are not us. And most of media isn't left-leaning at all. It's not even centrist. It is something else altogether.
I can't believe they fell for that.
And so, but then within the scope that is WBAI, it's very difficult to find the balance itself. For me, the worst imbalance was always the balance of politics versus arts. Everybody has their own. You always did that. Earthwatch has always been a perfectly balanced show that it pulls from both and it uses one to look at the other. I would not say, and I'm coming from another angle, using the medium of science fiction, which is, as everybody has to realize when you think about it, an extremely political form of art.
Starship Troopers. Hey, how about Dahlgren? Talking about sociological and imperialist issues.
Dahlgren is such a complicated work. It's Dahlgren by Samuel R. Delaney, which is a book that I absolutely believe will be studied 200 years from now. Sorry, Chip. I know you've written other great... Chip is Samuel R. Delaney. Delaney has written a lot of great works, but I do think, my personal belief is that Dahlgren will be his most enduring work and is up there with probably Kindred by Octavia Butler. Of all the things she wrote, that one short story, novella rather, is it. Now, Kindred, if you want to talk about political, Dahlgren is more than political. Dahlgren is about life, the universe, and everything. Mm-hmm. Kindred. Have you read?
No, I have not yet had that.
Oh, so. I feel good for you because you have a treat ahead of you. Kindred is about a woman of the near future, a black woman of the near future, who goes back and finds some great, 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 great grandfather who is, of course, a plantation owner. They are kindred. Right. Yeah, I mean, just there. That's I won't spoil beyond it, other than to say, this is one of the. You can only do this through science fiction. You can only create the meeting of the minds that Butler was able to do.
You know, there was this ingenue on one of these Hollywood shows, and she said, you know, well, actually, I'm mixed. And I said, what, recently?
Ba-dum.
Octavia Butler, looking forward to that. That's Jim Freund. I'm Robert Knight. This is Earthwatch, and soon it will be Hour of the Wolf. And we're asking you to support WBAI for the multiplicity of approaches to intelligence that this radio station represents. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and give more than the nominal amount, because another cavil I had tonight was that this $25 subscription fee, by now it should have been $100.
Well, you know, I don't... Why is it? Why is it that when you started at WBAI... the subscription rate was $45.
I know. Well, you know.
Why did that get dropped down to $25?
It's the disease, the drama, and the distemper of putative democracy.
You know, I'm sorry to say you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. There was this, you know, mindset that said $45 is too much for people to afford. Well, but we always had the $25 amount.
Of course.
So I would ask people to consider pledging just because it's a fun number.
Make up for lost time.
I say $86.
All right.
$1 for each year Robert and I have worked here. How's that?
That would be overpaying.
Yeah, well, okay. Okay, cut it in half. Maybe make it $43 or something like that. But 516-620-3602. And the important thing is to make that pledge and to support us. And, I mean, how often can we say in our time of need, without crying, "Hour of the Wolf"? But we are. But it is true. It is so absolutely true. I feel it. You know, very often I'll come in and I'll have read a memo that will horrify me, And I'll go, oh, my God, we really, really need the money now. But now, here we exist in 2.5 rooms in the by the thankful grace of a friendly other radio station that cares for us. And so we are living on the kindness of strangers at this time, hoping to bring about a renaissance for WBAI. It's almost like we're in a corner at this point, and but willing to get out of it.
Well, we're going to say, like they do juridically, we need to be released on our own renaissance.
Renaissance. No, there you go. On our own renaissance, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel? I felt 3 months ago pretty desperate and down, and I think there may be some hope now.
I have seen the promised land. We're going to make it. There is, there are, I always get confused. Is it machinations or machinations? I think it's machinations. Of
Mac, yes.
Of the, of our promised land.
Yeah.
And there are very real steps being taken to secure our own property at a...
Again.
Yeah.
Because I am still PO'd about the loss of the property that we had in 77.
Sure enough. So my...
And that was
thing
church.
For the listeners is we do have... we're a butterfly in caterpillar form right now today. And we're about to make that chrysalis transition. And we need our listeners right now to step forward and build the bridge from now to just a few short months from now. 516-620-3602. Jim, it feels so good with you. I'm going to give you the con.
Oh, okay.
And our listeners are going to
And you say that
the
just
station.
A week before the new Star Trek film comes out, damn it.
Oh, my. I like the first one.
You know, I am so sorry to say that so did I.
Yeah.
The first new one, I was really all set to junk it. And people are already complaining about the plot of the new one. And when you say, give me the con, that is a giveaway about what the new film is about. But you know what? The plot of the first movie sucked, and it didn't matter because it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well done.
Oh, great acting. Great acting. Well, I'm going to...
good casting.
I'm going to transition with one of my favorite songs that I think touches the spaces that we cohabitate, intersect, and union with. And it has to do with both your mystical roots as well as science fiction expertise. And thank you for listening. I'm Robert Knight. See you next week on Earthwatch and tomorrow in the Shadow.
Matt is the captain of Alpha Centauri. We must be out of our minds. Though we are shipmates and bound for tomorrow, everyone here's flying blind. But we must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. Matt is the crew bound for Alpha Centauri. Dreamers and poets and clowns. But Bold is the ship bound for Alpha Centauri, and nothing can turn it around. But we must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. Thank you.
magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. Da 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 da. Believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command.
And you would be. This is WBAI in New York City. Listener-sponsored, non-commercial, creaking radio broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Well, Max, what do you have planned for my show this morning?
To finish producing Al Jazeera for a 5 o'clock broadcast.
Good old Al. Yeah, how is he, by the way?
The Emirate and the Sultanate are all fine. What is it, set on CD? Of course it is.
But you're really going to air check my show?
Every show has potential rebroadcast.
Every show has... Okay. So they want to make a new... Because of the new phone number, huh? But they're going to get rid of that phone number, aren't they?
I don't know how or why they would.
Yeah. So how do I find out how many people are calling?
Well, you have to look on the... web display, as usual.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you say as usual, but I haven't been shown the usual. So I have virtually no idea of how that works. Did you want to hear the Iron Man review now? We have Dan Persons starting to do some reviews for this program. And you remember Cine Fantastique magazine?
Of course.
Well, that's him.
The best.
Yes.
Oh, but more importantly...
Yes.
My first publication, my first anything ever in print, was a letter in Famous Monsters of Film Land.
Oh, really?
Asking for more Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And despite the fact that they got most of the facts wrong, Al Jazeera at least did an obituary for him yesterday.
Oh, did they?
They did.
Ah, yeah.
Calling his work in, Sinbad and the Golden Fleece, 1962 or 1963, calling it early stop-motion animation. They were only 80 years off in their timeline, but, you know.
No, more than... Well, let's see. When were the... What was the name of the two...
I looked it up. There were some 1880s, animation. Yeah. Animation.
1890s, I think. 1890s. My favorite stuff was this Russian couple who did The Frog Who Would Be King.
Yes.
And some wonderful silent short subject materials that were stop motion animation. But Harryhausen brought it, I believe, you know, I haven't even read any of his obits, so let's see if I can remember. I believe that Harryhausen got to meet Marion C. Cooper. O'Brien.
He worked with O'Brien.
O'Brien.
On Mighty Joe Young.
Willis O'Brien on Mighty Joe Young. That was it. And the two of them, Marion C. Cooper and Willis O'Brien, were the people pretty much behind King Kong. And then Mighty Joe Young was nothing more than an exploitation of what had been done with stop motion to begin with, making a big ape out of stuff. And that's where Ray Harry... And there is this era, there is this moment in time when you had these three guys from L.A. You had Ray Bradbury, Ray Harryhausen, and Forrest J. Ackerman all living within like this small area from each other, all being fans of the same kind of thing, all people who lived into their 90s. And this was a trio. And Harryhausen was the third of the trio, and he died, for those who don't know, 2 days ago. And they were all
92.
92 years old. Bradbury was 91. Forey Ackerman, I think. Oh, Forey was young. He was like 89 or something.
Yeah, that was several years ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a bit older than the others. And but they were pretty much a trio of people, always trying to help out Forey, who somehow was always going broke in different ways and having to. So, you know, Harryhausen would say, oh, well, you know, here's like a, you know, a skeleton from Sinbad. Right. Sell that and, you know, you can keep your house for another 2 years.
And please, the Acker Mansion. That's no house. That's a museum.
It really is. It really is. And but, you know, one thing to hold against Forrest J. Ackerman, if you're a snob purist like I am,
coining the term sci-fi?
That's it. That's it. Is that... No, he did it right. He did it absolutely right. When Forey Ackerman... Harryhausen was the only one of the three I never met. Forey Ackerman, it was impossible not to meet if you ever went to science fiction conventions. And Bradbury was here at WBAI, of course, actually through the auspices of Matthew Finch, of all people. But anyway, but I got to, as you know, that's a long story. Max rescued that interview. It's an amazing story. But at any rate, what was I talking about? I'm sleepy.
I interrupted you to throw in about Ray Harryhausen.
Sci-fi.
You had the review of Iron Man.
Yes, we do have a review from Cine. Well, from the man who was Cine Fantastique, Dan Persons.
Somewhere I have a box with most of those magazines, although the back
issues Dan will be here.
Frightfully expensive.
Dan will be here in a few weeks to pitch with me, and he will autograph them for you.
Well, I have to go get them out of storage.
Or
what? Oh
well, okay. well, we'll put him into storage. He'll like that. But anyway, the Forey Ackerman story was that Forey was the editor, creator, and editor of Famous Monsters of Filmland, and he specifically coined the term sci-fi to refer to the monster movies of the 1950s.
Right.
And he had a great respect and love for the pulp magazines and the science fiction and the fantasy. And so when I get snooty and say, no, you know, that isn't sci-fi, that's science fiction, I am using Forey Ackerman's definition. Forey agreed that sci-fi was definitely not a different genre, but a sub letting, as it were, of what Robert Heinlein called speculative fiction. That's another one. Is I love the fact that the literary people. I just did a wonderful interview this week, by the way, with a literary science fiction writer, and I will be playing that soon. And they call the literary science fiction speculative fiction because that allows for all of it, and they go, oh, yes, this is a new term that denotes greater literary stuff, except that one finds out that in 1946, Robert Anson Heinlein coined that term in Astounding, and then it's about, you know, 6 years later that Forey Ackerman comes up with sci-fi. So guess what, gang? It's the other way around. Speculative fiction referred to science fiction. Sci-fi referred to monster movies.
Yeah, makes sense. Say, did you see that ad with the page about the werewolf on the plane?
No.
Oh, yesterday is what it is. Either Metro or AM New York. They're really pushing this new book, Red Harvest or Red, I don't know.
By?
God. Well, his handsome picture was plastered all over the ad, and he appeared somewhere yesterday signing the book. It's actually a very pulse-pounding page of literature.
Wow, wow.
Almost made me want to run out.
Well, they haven't. I'm still trying to gear up for
Nouveau werewolf literature, apparently.
Ah, okay.
Werewolf on a plane.
So zombies are already...
Don't tell me nothing about no mofo werewolves on this mofo plane.
And his hair was perfect. So zombies are already passé before World War Z opens up?
Passé? Maybe they're just stepping aside a bit.
Maybe so. Or shambling aside. As the case may be, but you know zombies are the current wave between The Walking Dead and World War Z, about to open any time now, based on the novel by Max Brooks. They even put out a new they upgraded from a reading of the audiobook to a full fledged audio drama, like 6-hour audio drama, which I just got in the mail of World War Z. One of these days I'll read the book.
It's a book? It's not a graphic novel?
No, it's not a graphic novel.
Isn't everything based on graphic novels these days?
Well, movies, usually, yeah, because that way they don't have to spend money
no storyboards.
On... storyboards. Exactly, exactly, on storyboards.
I will see if I have that paper with that...
Yeah, you do that. But the best commercial, I showed it to you earlier.
Yes.
The best new commercial is it's an Audi commercial. It's a car commercial. And let's just say, go to YouTube or wherever and type in, do a search on Audi, A-U-D-I, and add to that Spock. That should be enough. It's a 2.5-minute commercial, but by the time it's done, you will have... more than one Spock to deal with, and hobbits, and so many fanish jokes that one can put into a single commercial as to be absolutely wonderful and funny. This is WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. And oh, guess what? It's fundraising time. How do we know that? Because it's WBAI in New York City. And we're always fundraising. But the last time we were doing this was out of utter desperation. It was not that we're not in despair right now. We are. In all seriousness, we are. But at that point, it was we had lost our studios. We were about to be evicted from the Empire State Building and all that. Right now, it's that we haven't paid the paid staff. Now, I'm unpaid staff, but I am not immune to the idea that they haven't been paid. But you see, there are rumors afoot, rumors of rumors that we are looking for a new world. We are looking for a new place. We are in a new place right now, but it's borrowed space. Up here in Harlem at CCNY, sharing space with under the auspices of WHCR, which is very good and very kind. But WBAI, if we are to survive, which is a question, if we are to survive, we need to find a home. And, well, first of all, we have to do two things. Number one, we have to pay we paid the back rent on the transmitter. We still owe rent on the place that we vacated, 120 Wall Street. We came to some kind of a leasing or long-term agreement on that. And next, after that, we have to deal with, oh, guess what? It's May. It's a new month. That's another $50,000 for the Empire State Building. And that's one piece of rent that cannot be renegotiated. If anything, that's going to go up. So we need to pay that. And, oh, yes, oh, my, we need to pay our staff. And in order to pay our staff, Well, such is listener-sponsored radio. But the director of Pacifica Radio is somebody who, I don't say this often about directors of Pacifica Radio, but somebody who I really respect, who I think if anybody can get us out of trouble, it is probably this woman, Summer Reese. She seems to have something on the ball. She's a realtor. And a realtor, perhaps with a sense of reality. Her idea is that WBAI, I don't know how much of this is public, but it will be after I say it, WBAI needs to buy its next home. Oh, well, Robert and I were talking about this earlier. Now, we did own a place in the late 70s, and we lost it through our own internal politics in the late 70s, when I was speaking to Summer the one time that I met her. She said exactly what was paid for it, and I told her the answer, and she basically said what I was been saying all these years is, there was dirty work at the crossroads. But she has this idea that we ought to be able to somehow buy a building. And that is such a correct thinking idea. But that's still a long way away, except for the fact that the rumor is that such a building has been found. But to get into that building, I mean, that's not going to happen this year. I don't know if it's going to happen next year. But what we do have to do is survive in order for that to occur, in order for us to get to a new WBAI. And in order to get into that new WBAI, we must survive, which is why we ask you to call. Area code 516-620-3602 to make a pledge. Again, 516-620-3602. $25 will make you a subscriber. If you're an old-time listener, pledge $45, because that's what the subscription rate used to be. It went down in the early 80s. I do not understand why the rate went down. I don't understand, frankly, why we're not raising it. So let's theoretically raise it for the duration of this program. $45 pledges. Yeah, that's the ticket. Or if you want to mourn with me, celebrate or mourn the number of years that I've been working here at WBAI, I began working May 1st, 1967 was the first time that I came in to answer telephones and began volunteering at the station. So if we do the math, that means that I am in my 47th year of working here. So $46 between the $45 subscription rate that it used to be, and the 47th year that I am working here, how about a $46 pledge? 516-620-3602. Okay, now, before it gets too late, I do want to play the Iron Man review, so that people get a chance to hear it before it gets, I'm very pleased that Dan Persons is recording these for us. Let's see. Ah, and here it is. So, I haven't even heard it yet. Nor have I seen the movie, but we'll hear about it together.
Hour of the Wolf, air date, May 9th, 2013, Iron Man 3, take one.
I told you it wasn't edited.
Hey, I'm Dan Persons, your old friend from CFQOnline.com. Why haven't you written? So, we are talking about Iron Man 3 here, and I'll say it. The Iron Man franchise is possibly the snarkiest superhero franchise around. It was born that way. It's genetically coded into the DNA of star Robert Downey Jr. and director Jon Favreau, who did the first two films. This one, the directing and writing has been taken over by Shane Black, who's no stranger to ironic genre himself, having done stuff like